just don't know how we're going to get there, but thank God he comes. Amen. For that. Well, you know, we've been in the book of Titus, and we're in chapter number 3. Seems like that's been the slowest chapter for us, but there's much in it. And if you'll think about the whole idea, the whole thought out of the book of Titus, and we remember that Paul has designated Titus to be in the Isle of Crete so that he can leave him there to set in order some things that may be wanting. And he's trying to get some things handled before they get out of hand. And tonight we'll look at a subject that we'll just deal with it by itself as it relates to how things can get out of hand. And we're going to talk about what Paul describes in verses 10 and 11 as a person that is termed a heretic. A heretic. He's termed that person and that phrase for us, and I believe this is probably the only time in your Bible that it's used. But we're going to talk about tonight the truth about heretics. And we'll get into that. But if you will, look back with me in chapter number 3 and go back to verse number 4. We'll just kind of add in a little more reading for context. And Paul about what he wants Titus to do for and with these people that are here in the Isle of Crete. And he says, "But after that the kindness and love of God, Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable, unprofitable and vain. A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself." Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, again for today. Thank you again for the goodness of the Lord on our lives and for all of your blessings. Thank you again for your word. And I pray we'd just take it to heart tonight. I pray you'd help these words and these sayings to sink down on the inside of us and let us understand who you are and what all you've done for us and what you want to do for us. And I pray again, just give us your grace, give us your wisdom, give us the understanding that we need of the scriptures tonight, and just give us the mindset where we can be the Christian that we ought to be and not be a hindrance but a help to the cause of Christ. And again, we'll thank you for everything in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. As I've said, we're going to talk about the truth about heretics. Now, as you look at verses 10 and 11, that's it. That's what we're going to deal with tonight. Paul says, "A man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself." Pretty short and sweet and to the point, isn't it? I mean, what Paul has to say, easily understood and, rather direct. And I think if you look at the entirety of this little writing, and again, you know, we say it's just 3 chapters and not very much as far as the number of verses that are here. I mean, there's just a few things that Paul wants to say. He gets right to the point. He talks directly. He talks very, very pointedly. And I mean, he just saying, "Look, Titus, here's what people need to know." And you kind of get the idea that Titus is probably a no-nonsense kind of guy. He's probably, as far as comparatives, when you look at the first and second Timothy, it looks like many times Paul is handling Timothy with some kind of, we would say, kid gloves. He's having to do a few things there. But to Titus, he just said, "Blap, here it is. This is what you need to." I believe Titus is the kind of guy that says, "I got it, and I can do it." And he does it, right? And, you know, there are differences of people. There are differences of how you handle situations in a church. There are differences in churches and how you handle situations. But Paul is giving very practical information to Titus. Titus is in a place called Crete. Now, we talked a little bit about this, I guess, as we opened this thing up and began to talk about it. But, you know, this thing that he is describing, it is a place where these people have been nothing. They've known nothing about God. They've known nothing about the Scriptures. They've known nothing about salvation. They're getting saved. It's a mission work, if you will. And as you look at that mission work, as things begin to unfold, hey, those folks have got a lot of things to learn. And Paul said, I've left you there, Titus. I've left you in that place so that you can establish those folks in that church. Amen? Now, you know, you'd think, well, preacher, everybody knows about whatever that we think of sometimes. But they don't. People do not understand, and they have to be taught. And especially some of the doctrinal issues. If you'll go back and study this sometime by yourself, you'll see how much Paul refers to doctrine. Because, again, doctrine is important. It's important. So Paul makes a heavy emphasis on this. And then he talks about, you know, the heretic here. So let's look at this. And first of all, we'll ask this question. What in the world is a heretic? What is a heretic? Well, let's start off, if you will, with a little definition of what a heretic is. Actually, that word that you have in the Greek says heretekos. Heretekos. And that is where we get our word, obviously, heretic. And it means this. It means somebody, a person, who is taking on for himself something that he wants to do. He takes it to himself, or he takes whatever for himself. It means to choose. It means that somebody is making a choice. It means someone that is ready to come in and divide things or cause a schism or cause contentions to arise wherever they are. And that's who Paul is talking about. There are people in this land, for some reason or other, whatever they may be, as I already said, they're a little different people. They're more leaning toward idolatry and maybe other ideas in religion. And I'll tell you, hey, I mean, you and I know some this sometime. You can remember, and I can growing up, you know, people come up and say, well, my grandpa always said, or my granny always thought. Well, it really doesn't matter, very honestly and as sincerely and politely as I can say, it don't matter what grandpa thought. It doesn't matter what granny believed. It doesn't matter what you've been told, what I've been told down through the years. I'll tell you what really matters. What does the Word of God have to say? And that is what Paul is trying to get across. And as I say, sometimes it seems very blunt, but bluntness can get the job done when nothing else does, right? I mean, just be blunt. So Paul is saying, look, here's some people here. He says, whoever it is among you that may be with this heretical thinking and heretical way, he said, basically, they are trying to take what they want and change what is being told and taught and change it to what they want it to be. Amen? I mean, you've got people that will do that today. I mean, why in the world do we have so many versions of the Bible? Because somebody said, well, you know, we don't like the way this one says it, so let's take it and let's make it say either what we want it to say or kind of, you know, twist it and turn it and bend it enough to get it to say what we want. Can I tell you, the Word of God is settled forever in heaven. I mean, it doesn't need any revision. It just needs rereading. Amen? Reteaching and re-preaching. That's what the Word of God needs from me and from you, right? So that's the definition of this is somebody that is trying to, and I guess really a good idea to say about them is that they're trying to twist things into what and shape things into what they think it ought to be. That's a heretic. Second of all, I want you to look at this. Let's talk about a word, their determination. The determination. And the determination of this person that is heretical, that is a heretic, they're determined in their mind to cause people to change to their way of thinking. They are going to divide people because of this kind of thinking that they have. And what they say is, you know, I'm always right. Amen? You ever heard that story about the girl that finally got married, and one of her friends was talking to her one day, and she said, well, I heard you got married. She said, yes, I did. She said, well, did you marry Mr. Wright? She said, well, yeah, I married Mr. Wright. I just didn't know his first name was Always. Amen? Y'all know some of them too, don't you? But I'm just saying, hey, these guys that are heretical, their way is always the only way. They have, well, the Bible said, well, that ain't what that means, and that ain't what I think, and that's not how I feel, and that's not what we believe, and that's not what we've been told, and I think it ought to be this way. That by their very action is they're determined to divide. Really, they'll come in and divide a body of a church by some of their heretical, some of their off base, some of their twisted and chosen ways to think. There are some people that will grab a hold of, as I say, maybe an old teaching or an ideology or just something they'll grab out of the Bible, and they'll try to twist it and turn it into any way that they can. And that's what a heretic does. But then you know what a heretic does? He tries to get other people to come along and be with him because he thinks he's always right, and his thinking and his beliefs are always the best. He says, I know better than Paul. I know more about that. You ever seen that? Well, I've had people that say, well, you know, preacher, you may be able to preach, but I they come across that. I know more than you do. Amen. I mean, you know, I know better than you do. I know different than you do. You ought to let me. Buddy, I want to tell you something. Come up here sometime and try it, and let's see how it works out. I'm telling you, there are people that will try to divide a church. And it happens a lot of times when you get them and they're determined and they're absolutely stuck in their mind. And they think that they're right and their way is best and that others ought to believe as they do, no matter considering the facts and no matter considering the truth of the Word of God. They still think they're right. Amen? I mean, they'll say, yeah, but. Well, there's no yeah, but about the Word of God. And that's what Paul is hammering here to Titus. So you see, there's a definition, there's a determination, and it really boils down to this. As I said through the whole thing, it's about doctrine. It's about the doctrine. And that is why Paul is trying to talk to Titus and emphasize this idea of doctrine. I mean, the idea of doctrine. And do you know how that some of these folks sometimes will do that? They'll make it an issue of contention. They'll try to bring up something and make it an issue of contention. And then they'll begin to go to others and say, well, did you hear what Brother Steve said? He said that. Now, I really don't think that's the way it is. Now, what do you think? Do you agree with me? And they're trying to get a group to agree with them. And it's almost like they're trying to pull a coup or trying to, destroy or undermine the man of God and the teaching. Hey, let me tell you, when somebody's preaching and teaching and they're in the Word of God, leave them alone. Amen? I mean, hey, that's what we need is somebody that's in the Word of God. And it's usually whenever there's some contention, it is going to be doctrinal in nature. And usually it's because it may be one of their little pet sins or one of their little pet projects that they're worried about. And, you know, people are going to come to you and say, well, what do you think about, you know, whatever it is? I mean, there's all kinds of issues that could come up today. How does your church stand on the issue of abortion? That'd be a good question. That somebody, well, our church says that they think, and I've seen, man, here over the last, I don't know how long, probably several months, I've seen some people that are supposed to be pastors and preachers and whatever, and they're behind Planned Parenthood. They've decided that it's okay if we thin down the population, and if it means that that woman has a right to make a choice to abort that baby, that that's her decision, and that's so. Can I tell you something? That's not what your Bible says. David still says that he was fearfully and wonderfully made by the Lord. Amen. I mean, my Bible still says, Jeremiah, when God talked to him, he said, I knew you when you were in the womb. Well, that's just not really a baby. Let me just spell that out. You're wrong, amen? Huh? I'm just telling you. But that's one of those issues. And there'd be somebody pop up in church and say, yeah, y'all don't really believe that, do you? Oh, I'm telling you, there are people come in, they'll say, you really believe that King James Bible is the only one they'll write? Yeah, we do. I believe it's the settled, secured, forever Word of God. Amen? And there's like, oh, well, we got the, you know, whatever. I was reading something here the other day to Lynn. I wish I had written it down. But it was like the, you know, the feel better, do better, blah, 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 blah version of the Bible. That's what most people want to hear, right? We've got it twisted and changed. And can I tell you, the word of God today that a lot of folks want, they don't want anything to do with the blood. They want that old bloody religion. Can I tell you, my Bible still says that you're saved over in the book of 1 Peter, not by the corruptible thing, not silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. You can't leave the blood out of your salvation experience, no matter what any person wants to do. So it's doctrinal. The heretic doesn't like, does not agree with many things in sound doctrine as it's taught, and tries to split the body of believers by his choice and to change the real standard and truth that's found in the preaching of the Word of God. That's what a heretic tries to do. So, as I say, it'll embody doctrine when you get one of these persons that are heretical in your church. They'll have some off the wall, out in left field kind of weird stuff, and then they'll start trying to get others to believe them. And they can get some others. If you find somebody that's weak, if you find somebody that's not studied, and somebody persuaded, if you find somebody that doesn't have a solid foundation, you can persuade them. And it happens. Why? Paul is saying, get them some sound doctrine and get them established. Get them some. That's the first thing. What is a heretic? We talked about that a little bit. Second of all, what do you do about the heretic? I mean, what in the world are we supposed to do? Well, listen, what a man that is a heretic after the first and second reject. So what does he say? What should we do? First of all, I believe Paul has said there should be a confrontation when there is a doctrinal stand that is being questioned. I mean, when something comes up, and there needs to be a confrontation. Do you know that, you know, in a lot of, I don't like confrontation. But when it's something that this is this important, Paul said, meet it head on. Do you see what he says here? He says, a man that's a heretic after the first and second admonition. He said that you should admonish this person in a biblical fashion. Go to him once and say, hey, what's the deal? What are we having a problem with? He said, and if he doesn't want to listen, you can go back the second time. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, you go to him. And you've got some issue, some problem with your brother, you go to him and y'all try to work that out. If he won't hear you, go back and take a couple of witnesses with you. That in the mouth of two or three witnesses. That's why it's important to have more than one person, because it's the he said, she said, or he said, and they said, you know, all that kind of stuff, the back and forth. You get somebody there that can establish the fact of witness that, yes, that's what they did say. Yes, that's right. Do you know that's a good way to kill a lot of stuff? Amen? Take somebody with you. Get her verified and say, okay, now, well, you got to say about, well, I didn't say that. Yeah, you did. I mean, are you saying now you don't believe? I mean, tell me what you're thinking, what your stance is. I mean, sometimes you've got to confront those things, and that's what Paul says. He says, you've got to go. He says, go to him. He said, once and maybe twice. Go and admonish him. Paul doesn't just say, just blast them out, you know. All of a sudden, he said, give them an opportunity to think about that or to reconsider or to do whatever they're going to do. And listen, admonish. I mean, he's saying, look, do you remember what Paul said to Timothy? He said, you're to take the Word of God over in 1 Timothy, or 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Before he gets into chapter 4 about preaching the Word, in the end of it, he said that the Word of God is given so that the man can do what? That he can rebuke and exhort and, you know, preach this thing with all longsuffering and doctrine. So that's part of it sometimes. That's part of it, okay? That's part of what should be and needs to be done. Confrontation. I mean, and really the idea of this, admonition, it means to try to straighten out that which is in error. Set it straight. Get it right. And get it in a place where wherever the error is that person is made. Correction is tried to be righted. If something is in error, try to straighten that thing out. Try to make a correction on that issue. And, you know, listen, y'all, you know, just realize all us preachers are human too. Sometimes we may say some dumb stuff and wrong stuff and all that, you know. Just get you a few. And the other stuff, you said, all right. I know one time I told y'all, I was out on Sand Mountain. I was preaching. I don't even know how I got, but I got to preach, and I said, George Washington discovered America. I just kept on preaching what I was talking about. And after church, one of my kids came up to me, or both of them really, came up to me and said, Dad, you said something wrong. I said, what did I say? They said, George Washington did not discover America. I said, yes, he did. Man, you know who you're talking to. I'm just telling you, sometimes we can be wrong. People can say things in error and not mean it, you know, what I'm saying. Sometimes you can say some things that are wrong. I'll tell you another thing real quickly. One time Brother Ronald Guffey was preaching for us, and he got up and he was preaching. He was preaching about David and his sin with Bathsheba. And he said, he was preaching along, and he said, and the prophet Jonathan come in and preached, pointed his finger at him and said, thou art the man. Well, after church, my youngest son at that time, he probably wasn't 6 or 7 years old, he went up and he looked at Brother Ronald. He said, sir, he said, you made a mistake today preaching. And Brother Ronald said, I did. He said, what did I say, boy? He said, you said Jonathan pointed to David. He said, it wasn't Jonathan. His name was Nathan. And Brother Ronald looked at him and said, well, son, what you don't understand is I was using his whole name. He said, his first name is John, and his middle name was Nathan, and I just run it all together. He said, I don't think that's right. Well, I'm just telling you, we can be wrong sometimes and not maybe necessarily mean to be wrong. But when you are determined to be wrong, it needs to be called on the carpet. It needs to be confronted. It needs to be tried to be set straight. You need to try to set those kind of things straight when there's an error. Second of all, not only confrontation, there ought to be denunciation. And what I mean by that, look what he says. He says, a man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition, listen to this word, reject. You got to denounce what he says. You got to reject it. You got to stand up and say, that's not right. Amen? That's not right. And I'm telling you, I can remember when I was a young preacher, hadn't been preaching probably maybe a year or more or something like that, and I'd gone to this church, and I didn't know the pastor, and he didn't know me. Anyway, before the service started, he said, come here, I want to talk to you for a minute. And okay. And he said, I want you to know something. He said, if you get up there and start preaching something that's not biblical and not right, he said, I'm going to sit you down. And I said, yes, sir. I said, and that's what you ought to do. I said, if I get out of the Bible, you sit me down. Amen? I mean, I wouldn't have any problem with it. I was young and dumb and didn't know nothing. I couldn't even preach very much anyway. But you know, I really felt like that was true. And he just wanted me to know, brother, hey, that's all right. I'm just telling you, if a man gets up and says, okay, you got the floor, but you better be preaching the book. You better be preaching what that Bible right there. Hey, that's the best thing you can do. Amen? And Paul says, look, you're to reject that doctrine, that teaching. He says, matter of fact, reject that man. I mean, he's not representative. He's not in the right. He is not giving good doctrine. Reject what he has to say. As I said, use this word denunciation. I mean, if he's not going to listen, if he's not going to renounce what he said, if he's not going to take it back, not going to straighten it out, then you need to reject him and put him on the road. Amen? Now, I know that's pretty tough, and you say, well, don't want to run nobody off. I want to tell you, Paul says this. He said, there are no compromises. There are no changes, and there are really no reasons for us to stand and be contentious in the Word of God, over the Word of God in the church. We're just going to tell you how the Word of God is, and if you can't line up with that, then there's the door, and that's probably the best place for you to go. Amen? I mean, that's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. So, you know, this thing needs to be straight. And again, you look at the people Titus is dealing with, and he said they've got to know it. And they can't have any wishy-washy. They can't have any questionable. They can't have anything that's out of the place. So we need to denunciate anything that is going to be heretical. And third, I believe he would say this, hey, there ought to be a proclamation. Can I tell you? Keep on preaching what is right, especially emphasize at any time you can those things that have been told wrong. Amen? You get up and tell them and say, I want to tell y'all something. Hey, this is what the Bible says. This is what the Word of God. I don't care what man thinks. I don't care what the, you know, so-and-so's think and all that. Brother, here it is and blap, that's what you got. Amen? I mean, I just think we ought to preach the Word of God. I believe we'll just get her Bibles and let me. Okay, when somebody tries to get off the wall, say, hey, that ain't right, y'all. Here's what you need to hear. Here's what you need to know. And we're going to keep on preaching it. Amen? You're going to run into people now, and they'll try to tell. And I'm not talking about being a smart aleck, and I'm not talking about, I'm just telling you, stand. Because they'll come up and say, we think that all of you folks that say, you know, gay marriage ain't right, hey, just go ahead and say whatever you want to say. I'm going to stand on my Bible. Amen. I'm going to pull out the scriptures. I'm going to look at Romans chapter number 1. I'm going to look in the Old Testament. I'm going to say there are some things that are abomination in the sight of God, and that's one of them. Amen. I'm just telling you, that's what the Bible says. It's not my personal opinion. It's not what I thought of. It's not my doctrine. It's the Word of God. And I believe there ought to be a further proclamation of all of those things. So I think that's what Paul is saying here. Look, let's make a proclamation. And as I say, especially if there's something that seems to be an issue that maybe is not resolved or that's out there floating around, just keep on preaching on that and get it straightened out. Amen? All right, let's look at one last thing, if you will. What do you do about the heretic? What do you need to know more about the heretic? What else do you need to know? Well, look at verse number 11 and notice what Paul says. In verse 10, he says, man that won't listen, first and second admonition, reject him. But he says, knowing, here's what you ought to know, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. Being condemned of himself. So first of all, what you need to know? First of all, you need to know that this person is a subversive. He is a subverter. He is trying to be. And again, that word subvert has the idea of this. To twist or to turn something out of its place. And it even means to take like a garment and turn it inside out to try to make it look like something that it's not. That's the idea of subversive or subverting. And what you and I'd say, what you ought to do, hey, it's perverted. Amen? It's perverted and it leads to perversion. And I'm telling you, friend, we don't need that in the church of the living God. We don't need anything that's perverted. We don't need, and I say, you've got people that are teaching some of these things, and they've got some issues, and they say, oh, well, we think it's okay for this, and we're allowing that, and we're going to do this. Listen, brother, you're messed up. That's all I can tell you. You are trying to subvert. You're trying to twist. You're trying to turn. You're trying to change the Word of God into something that it is definitely not. Amen? And it just ain't right. Paul said, a man that is this heretic, that he knows, or you should know, that he is subverted. He's just perverted. He's just off out there, as I say, in left field somewhere. And you and I need to understand that subversion is leading to something that is much worse than the truth, obviously. Perverted, and he tries to pervert others. If that person can get that teaching in, and then he's getting others to believe it, then pretty soon you got it. Amen? Now, and I don't mean necessarily this particular issue at this time where I went, but I went to a church one time, and I was preaching, and people come up to me after I got through preaching. They said, where do you go to church? And I told them, you know. And some of the older people in the church came up to me and they said, you know what? We used to have a preacher that preached like that. And I'm like, what does that mean? The one you got now don't? I mean, hey, I got it. We're in a different day today. And I'm not talking about being loud and sweating and spitting and all. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, man, if you've got somebody that will just tell the truth, you know what? We still need some preachers that'll call sin, sin. Not afraid to name stuff that is sin. I mean, not afraid to tell somebody that, hey, it ain't right, hey, man. It ain't right to lie and steal and get out here and get liquored up and take drugs and fornicate and all. I mean, we need somebody to stand up and tell that kind of stuff. Amen. And I'm just telling you, boy, when you got something else that slides in and says, well, you know, this is okay and we're going to allow that and this will be fine and we're going to do this and we're going to take into, and we don't care, we'll ordain women to be preachers and we'll let some of those homosexuals be our deacons and our elders and our leaders and our church. Hey, something's wrong, amen. Right? I'm just telling you, you know, it's subversive. Because those things begin to permeate into the society of that church anyway. And those folks sit there and they say, well, everybody's okay with it. It must be okay. And the preacher ain't saying nothing about it, so it must be okay. And ain't nobody else saying, so it must be all right. And pretty soon, boom, the whole thing is a big mess. And that's it. Go get it straightened out. Barney Fife said, nip it in the bud. Amen. And that's what you got to do. I'm just telling you, you've got to get into these things and realize that these people are trying to be subversive in their actions. Second of all, notice this, what Paul said. Not only is he subvert, he said he's just a good old sinner. Amen? Just a plain old sinner. That word sinner is the word that's used throughout the Bible for sinner. Hamartia, which means to be miss the mark of God. I mean, he just missed it. Just missed it. If you was aiming for it and you shot beside it or beyond it or in front of it, you've missed the mark. That's what they've done. But you know what? They say, well, look here, I hit it. I done good. No, you didn't. You missed it. Amen? He has missed the mark of what God has set as a standard. Amen? Y'all remember that? When you was a kid, y'all like me, we went to Lake Winnipesaoka. Woo, when we was kids. Y'all went to Lake Winnipesaoka? Y'all, when we was little kids. And y'all remember them goofy little things that have all by them rides. A lot of times they'd have a little clown drone and had his finger up there. You must be this tall to ride this ride. Oh, Brother Steve would get over. And I'd stretch, jump, I'd do everything. And I still couldn't get it. You know what? I missed the mark. But I thought, well, let me ride, you know. because I'm almost there. I'm almost tall enough. It's almost there. That old guy there who's like, sorry, son, you can't write. You ain't tall enough. It'd make me mad. Because I was tall enough on the inside, but I just wasn't on the outside, okay? But you know what? It's the same way with these people that are very determined to subvert, mess up, mess over the church. They will keep on trying, even though they're missing the mark. They say, oh, no, I hit it. Oh, no, that's okay. Oh, no, that's right. But you see what Paul says here? He said, they're just sinners. Amen. I know we're all sinners. Thank God I'm a sinner that got saved by the grace of God. Hey, God hit the mark with my heart, and I realize I got to do the way he says do. I got to read this Bible, preach this Bible, stand for this Bible the way that it is. But these folks continually live in error and say to everybody else, but it's okay. It'll work. It's all right. There's nothing wrong with this. That's exactly what they're doing. And I'm telling you, it keeps them away from the Lord and the truth, and they will not have sound doctrine. Amen? All right, one last thing. He is self-destructive. He's a self-destructor. He says, being condemned of himself. Usually that person that is like that, they condemn themselves by opening their mouth and whatever kind of actions that they present. They are showing their true selves when they open their mouth. Amen? I mean, you ever seen people like that? All they got to do, oh, you got to do something. Let somebody open their mouth. They'll tell you. I mean, they'll tell you. Just listen to somebody long enough, and they will tell you what they are. They will tell you. A lot of them, you won't find out somebody's lying, just stand there and listen to them a bit. I mean, they'll start with this, and they'll go over there, they'll do this, and it'll be all over the place, and then they'll go back and try to tell it, and it's different and all that, and you're like, wait a minute, I thought you said, well, blah, blah, blah. I mean, they will show themselves, and that's the way these folks are. He says that they are, to them, by themselves, they condemn. They're being condemned by themselves or of themselves. It doesn't take any great figuring to do. He manifests his wickedness. This fellow will manifest his wickedness by his work. Show that he is wrong and that he is guilty by the very things that he says and that he does. And all you got to do is just stand there and let him hang himself. Amen? And that's exactly what a heretic will do. I mean, you see here in verse number 9 what Paul has already said. He said, but avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and striving about the law. But for, he said, for they're unprofitable and they're vain, they're empty, there's nothing to whatever all these people are doing. Amen? Y'all figured out since last time we talked about it, did Adam have a belly button? Amen. How many angels can be placed on the head of a pen? I mean, who in the world cares about this? But there are people that'll get into some of the awfulest church fights over silly, silly, foolish, ridiculous stuff like that. And they'll tear a church apart if they can. Well, we believe. I told y'all that did that. They had an artist come in, and he made a rendering of Adam, put it on a wall. It was a wall mural in the church. Made it, and here's Adam in the garden. Now, it wasn't really descriptive of all of Adam's anatomy, but he had Adam on the wall. One of the church members come by, they're looking at it. And they said, preacher, this guy didn't draw a belly button on Adam. And I think he ought to have one. And then, of course, brother doctor, I know everything come by. And he said, sir, Adam was created and he didn't have a belly button. Well, how do you know? Well, we better go ask the guy that drew the picture. So the guy drew the picture came by, and they said, you got to clear something up for us. You got to straighten this out. There's Adam. He ain't got no belly button. And you got to do something. He said, I can fix it. He went over there and he drew a leaf right over the midsection of Adam. He said, there you are. We got her cleared up right now. Guess what's behind the leaf? Amen. I mean, sometimes it's just foolish, silly, stupid stuff that can get people all riled up over something so insignificant. And that's exactly what these folks are doing. I mean, Paul says here, he says, just avoid those things. And he's saying here, reject those kind of people because they always have to be right. Amen. Boy, I hope we don't have anybody like that here tonight. But I'm telling you, well, just live for Jesus, love him. And guess what? There'll be some things we'll only find out when we get to heaven. Amen? And by then, they won't be that important anyway, will they? Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing some song tonight, if you would. And maybe you need to come. Maybe you want to pray. I don't know what may be going on with you.